Let me bring in our hypnotist, Marshall Silver.
It's Marshall Silver, ladies and gentlemen, the world's fastest hypnotist.
Greetings, my little chickadees. Hey, welcome. So glad you're with me at Marshall Silver Live. Very special show today. I'm flying. Not right now, but I'm going to be flying in a minute. And because of that, we will not go into the vault today. And we're going to jump into our guest quickly. He's known for his innovative approach to real estate and investing and his ability to demystify complex strategies for the masses. King Kong has established himself as a true monarch in the industry. I've seen him all over social media. He's unique. He's fun. He really does make it as simple as possible. Please join us as King Kong shares his journey from humble beginnings to becoming a real estate mogul. He's going to offer you an exclusive look at the tactics and mindsets that have paved his path to success. A nice big Marshall Silver Live welcome to King Kong. Welcome to the show.
Marshall, thank you so much, man. It's such an honor to be here, dude. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Dude, and thank you so much for the kind word, bro. I don't know about real estate mogul, but I am doing my best.
No, you're awesome. I see you all over the place. Your videos are fun, and they're very raw. They're very real. They're right to the point. You don't beat around the bush. You tell the truth. So what should I call you? Let's start there. What should I call you, King or Kong?
Kong.
You got it. Let's start with the question. You know, I train not in real estate, but I train a lot of real estate investors in mindset and influence skills. Yeah. And in fact, that's the majority of what I've been doing for 40 years is kind of filling in the missing piece. You know, once you've taught people strategies, once you've told them exactly what to do, and they still don't get off their butts and do what you tell them to do. You know, I can stand in front of anybody's audience if they've got real estate investors in the room. And if I ask how many of you have ever actually invested in an investment property, 90% of the people do not put their hands up. Less than 10% of the people put their hands up. Why do you suppose that is? With so many people, learning so many amazing skills. I know you've taught thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Why is it that most people never get off their butts and actually do something?
Marshall, yeah, to me, is that the thing that you want, I think it's too many people are comfortable where they're at. Like they want more, but they're too comfortable to let go of their current lifestyle to achieve the next level. So what happened is most people think that, you know, and I think people too, is that people tend to jump from one shiny object to another, thinking that, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. And then they tried it out. And then what happened is they're going to hit a wall, right? And then what happened is that they move on and then try something else because they looking for quick success. But there's just no such thing. And, you know, and Marshall, I say this on my social media. I said too many lazy people want to get rich. That's the biggest problem. Because if everyone would have just understand that success don't happen overnight, it happens over time. And there's a saying that it takes 10 years for an overnight success. So a lot of times, most people want to build a castle within a year. Most people are trying to start from zero to $1 million within a year. The chance of that happening is just very unlikely. But if people would have just picked something that they want to do and just understand that it will take time and it will take a lot of hard work, all right, and they would just commit and spend the next, I would say, 3 to 5 years to build that up, that skill set, to master that one thing that they want to do, I think anybody can become successful. But they just have to pick one thing and focus on that one thing instead of trying multiple different things, man.
You have a unique approach to real estate, to investing in general. Tell me what makes you different than so many other people that are also teaching similar strategies.
Yeah, so Marshall, what I do is called wholesaling real estate. So I started out in my real estate career at the age of 27. And I started out, I think, with a lot of most people, when they think about real estate, they either think, hey, become a realtor or buy, fix, and flip houses, or, you know, become a landlord. But most people that are working at a J, O, the B probably cannot afford to get into becoming a landlord. So they either, you know, go become a realtor or do the whole fix and flip. What I do is called wholesaling real estate. So what it is we're basically a middleman. What we do is we're not a realtor, and it's completely legal. It works in any city, any states, and you can do this completely virtual from your comfort of your own home. I know it sounds amazing. And most people think it's too good to be true. And that's exactly what I think thought too about wholesaling, right? When I start watching people online and seeing them post about, you know, $10,000 checks, $50,000 checks, $100,000 checks. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is another get rich schemes. But when I got into real estate, I started out that fix and flip. And Marshall, about 4.5 years in, I almost lost everything and went bankrupt. And then that's when I discovered wholesaling. I said, well, I can't leverage anymore. I can't buy any more property to fix and flip it. The only options I got is try this thing where people are saying wholesaling. And there's this property that was on the market, but they took it off the market, and it's called expired listing. So it was expire. I send the seller a letter saying, hey, you know, my name is Kong. I'm interested in making you a free, no risk, no obligation cash offer on your property. If you're interested, give me a call. Seller calls me. We talk about 4 times. We negotiate. I got a property and a contract. And then I find another investor that was in my local area that I know that wants to, that I said, hey, I got this property and a contract. I'm going to sell it over to you, right? So what you do is you get the property and a contract. You find another house flipper, another investor. We call them cash buyer. And then I just simply, Marshall, sell my contract over to them for $28,000. From start to finish, the closing took about 15 days. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I can make $28,000 in 15 days versus trying to make $30,000 in 4 to 6 months fixing and flipping houses, and it only cost me about $250 as an earnest money deposit to lock this property in a contract, I said, dude, this is the game that I want to play. So I just went all in. I shut down my fix and flip operation, went all into wholesaling. And I've been doing it for about 6.5 years, and we do completely virtual. We don't meet the seller. We don't see the property. All right. And we're doing about I would say this year we're about $120,000 a month.
So just to be clear, and I know you just explained it, but a lot of people don't know what wholesaling is. Wholesaling means that you get the property under contract for a period of time, 30, 60, correct, 90 days.
Yep.
And so what you're doing is you're putting down a small amount of money for that option to buy the property at that price. And then you're turning around and you're selling wholesale. You're selling that option to a cash buyer who then turns around and buys it for the whatever you say the price is, or just buys the option to buy it at what you'd already negotiated, correct?
Correct. So basically, we're just like the middleman. So what we do is we find distressed property with motivated seller. Like, these are people that are in distress. And that's the only way that they're willing to sell the property at a major discount. Okay. So typically they're in pre-foreclosures, the property is vacant or it needs a lot of work. They live out of states. They're tired of being a landlord. You come in contact with them, negotiate a deal, lock that property in a contract. That contract gives you equitable interest. And that is the key to wholesaling. It's literally that contract. So it gives you equitable interest, which means you can either move forward to buy the property or you have the right to sell that contract, that piece of paper, over to somebody else for a profit. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be your mom that you can sell that contract and make a profit. And that, my friend, is called a wholesale fee or an assignment fee. And typically, you can put that property in a contract. So you can literally control an asset that's worth hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars with just a few hundred bucks, sometimes even with $10. And that, my friend, is called the earnest money deposit.
So clearly, it doesn't seem like a difficult process. And I know you've had thousands and thousands of students. The majority of your students, the majority of my students are live. You know, I get in front of them live and I can see their faces and I can call them on their stuff. And I know that a lot of your training is digital. Do you think that there is any kind of a disconnect in live training versus digital training? Do you think people are more likely to actually follow through if they know somebody can see them physically and say, hey, you know, you have everything you need. You just need to do it now.
Yeah. You know, Marshall, as for me, I really don't think so. I really think that it really depends on the person. I've seen tons of people going from events to events, mastermind to mastermind, but end up doing shit. They end up doing nothing. They go there, they get inspired, they get motivated, they get jacked up, and then they come home. Guess what? They try it out for a week, 2 weeks, and then they quit. So to me, there's no different from virtual than in person. I know that for a fact that you can sell more in person. So let's just say if someone invite you to speak at an event, I think that you can sell more of whatever it is that you're trying to sell. You can sell more to that person because they're already there and they are committed to being there. Their flight, their hotel, you know, right. All the expense add up. So I know that when you're doing a live event, you can sell more. But as far as seeing students achieving success, I think it's really up to that person. And the mentor is how he or she wants to teach. I don't want to, like, I love just doing everything virtual. Yep. So that's
so
why.
So you don't like to travel?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I only like to travel to places I want to go, do the thing that I want to do. So that's why, Marshall, I don't speak at event. I get a lot of people invite me to event and I turn them all down. Even though I know that going to event can make me way more money and I can get a lot more students because I'm there, they see me, I'm in person, I'm at an event, right? And that, because the reason I say that, because I used to be the person who buys ticket to the event and then end up buying, you know, into a mentorship, et cetera. But I just choose not to. You see, the reason why, Marshall, is because my wife and I, we've worked so hard to get to this point of our life. And the whole thing is about, you know, being financially, not just financially free, but choosing who I want to work with, what I want to do, when I want to do, and where I want to do it. You know, and I think everyone needs to have their financial freedom numbers. So for me right now, I'm not saying this to brag or to flex, right? I'm like the smallest guy in the tank. But I say this is because I want every single one of you to understand that you need to build a business around the lifestyle that you want, all right, to live, and that you need to pick your financial freedom number. So for me, for me and the wife right now, Marshall, anything we make is just cherry on top. So I'm not willing to go out of my way to make an extra few hundred thousand or a few million dollars if I don't want to do that thing. That's pretty much it.
By the way, one of your fans, when they saw that you were going to be on the show today, said, please have him give his, you know, have him do his slogan. What is, you know, have him do his catchphrase. What's your catchphrase?
Let's go get this money.
Exactly. I love it. Good stuff. So we were talking about the distinction between teaching people virtually and teaching people in a live setting. And you were saying you didn't think there was much of a difference. Tell me again, because this is the part this is why they bring me in, is because, again, 90% of people, I don't care who the trainer is. I don't care how good the trainer is. I don't care how simple they make the process.
Yep.
Most people still never do it. Correct. Why?
You see, Marshall, is that I don't think people want it as bad as they say they do. Because I think that, because whatever it is that you want, dude, you have to literally, it has to almost consume your life. Eat, work, sleep, shower, everything that you do, you just think about that one goal, that one thing that you want to accomplish. So to me, Marshall, I just don't think that people want it as bad as they say they do. Because if you want it as bad as you say you do, when you come a hurdle, what do? You figure the shit out. You figure it out. All right? But most people, when they hit a speed bump or they hit something and life gets really tough, listen, things happen in life, all right? Maybe your family member, whatever, got hurt or asked the hospital, whatever it is, all right? Or maybe you just hit with a bill, or maybe you got in a car accident, maybe whatever it is. Once again, things happen in life. But when you truly desire the thing that you want, that you say that you want so bad, you, my friend, will do whatever is required. And it's always, Marshall, I think it's always, once you have that, you always pick your priority over whatever it is, right? Because to me, Marshall, if it's not your priority, you're not going to do it. It's not about, oh, I don't have the time. It's just not your priority. That's all it is. So, Marshall, I went to Taco Bell. So I was driving through Taco Bell, And the guy that was working there was, he followed me on TikTok. And then I asked, and then we went back and forth, and he's like, Colin, I'm really tired of working here, this and that. You know, I'm going to school, and I'm working here, and this and that. And I was talking to him about wholesaling, et cetera. And I said, and he said, well, Colin, I really want to do it, but I don't have the time. And this is what I said. I said, dude, if you know that if you take action, all right, and if you commit for the next 30 to 60 days, that you can make an extra $10,000. Like, if you know that for a fact, would you do it? Oh, he said, hell yeah. He said that he would make the time. But you see, most people lack of commitment, and they just lack of the confidence. They don't know if I'm going to do it, and they just don't commit.
I think it's the confidence piece. I think that's what it is. I think that they see you or other students even, and they see them succeeding, and they say, yeah, that's great for all of them, and yeah, they can win, and yeah, they did it, but I'm not that same person. So I kind of believe, you know, that's on anything, whether it's real estate investing or just about anything in life, that people say, yeah, everybody else did it, but not me. How do we help people get over that hump? Is it, you know, I'm a hypnotist, and that's what they bring me in to do, is reprogram people's brains. I see you're wearing a cross. I'm guessing you're a Christian. I love God deeply. And my own belief is that we're required to use the gifts that we're given at the highest levels. We're required to be grateful for those gifts. And if we don't use those gifts, we lose those gifts. How do you think? What do you do when you've got students like your Taco Bell, you know, drive-through worker, that you know he's motivated and they want to win and they're eager? What do you do to get them over that hump?
You know, Marshall, once again, right? That I don't think there's lack of knowledge. There's lack of information. There's just lack of action and lack of commitment. There's nothing I can do to change your life. All the knowledge, all the information is out there, my friend, right? No mentor is going to help you. Yes, we can provide you with the recipe, with the instructions, but you, my friend, would have to want it so bad. You have to put in the work and you have to commit. All right? That's it. So for me, Marshall, I grew up, I didn't have that entrepreneur in me. Like, you know how Gary Vee at a young age, he was flipping, you know, selling lemonade. I wasn't, dude. I grew up in a mud hut. I used to catch frogs for dinner.
What's your nationality?
Vietnamese. You know, and when I came to America, Marshall, I was picking blueberries, raspberries, cucumbers, beans, strawberries, like after school, you know. So once school was out, you get that 3 month of summer. My parents put me to work, right? And I grew up thinking I was just going to work at a factory for the rest of my life. I really didn't have any big dreams or big goals. And it all changes when I met the wifey. She's the one who have big goals and big dreams. And for me, I just want to make her dreams come true. Like, my wife can say, Kong, we're done. I'm done. I don't want anymore. I'm done. I'm good. I'll be like, okay, cool. I'll shut down my social media and we'll just stop. Because we have enough, you know, we have a lot of, we have some rental now and our lifestyle is not crazy. So I can just say, I'm done. So for me, a lot of people ask me, so Kong, what drives you? What wakes you up? And I'll be honest. I'm materialistic guy. I love nice cars, right? I love nice cars. That's what I like. All right. And I want to make the wifey dreams come true. So when she tells me, Kong, I want to buy this. I want to buy this diamond necklace, right? I want to do this. I want to do that. And as a man, I can't get it for you. I just don't feel good. I want to be the man where she says she wants it. I'll be like, okay, Lon, I'll do whatever it takes to get it for you. Morally, ethically, but I'll make it happen no matter what. And that has always been the thing that drives me even to today.
I would agree. You know, I'm at level 61 myself. I've made over $600 million. I have everything that I would ever want. I don't want any more cars. I don't have any more garage space. I'm parking my vehicles as it is. I'm parking my vehicles in my driveways at this point. And the thing, though, that motivates me is the exact same thing. I love my wife so much. We've been together 17 years. I love my children. And all I want to do is make sure that their lives are way beyond anything they ever imagined. So I saw you actually on a presentation you were doing live virtually. Is a lot of your training, I know a lot of your training is digital. Is a portion of your training also live virtual?
Nope. Yeah. So basically, so I will do 1 hour a month, just 1 hour a month, with my students.
And so are you, do you do any, you know, we do a lot of events and we bring in a lot of speakers, and I love your topic. I love what you do. And obviously we have a lot of real estate investors in our audience. Do you do any, you don't travel, I know that. Do you do any kind of virtual training for other events? If we put you on a big screen in front of our live audience, is that something you do?
So Lon and I actually, we travel like once a quarter. So I don't know to you, I don't know if that's a lot or not a lot, but dude, I used to remember when Lon and I would travel like, you know, once every 3 years. So for us, it's a lot, but Lon and I would only travel to places that we want to go to, not because it's any, you know, so I don't know if that's what you were asking or not.
No. What I was asking is, you know, would you be open to actually coming to our event virtually? So the other speakers are there live, but we put you up on the screen and let you teach virtually. Is that something you do?
I would be open to that if we are compatible.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah. My challenge is my wife and I, we travel probably about once or twice a year. And the reason I don't travel more, I have a palace in Las Vegas that I love, my home. I have a house on the beach in San Diego that I love, my beach house. And every time we travel, I'm staying in a hotel that's not as nice as my homes. And so I tell my wife, why do we travel? Other than, I mean, there's certainly, we like seeing things. I took her up to see the Northern Lights for our anniversary. But I said, other than, you know, that, it's hard to leave the fact that we live in a place everybody else goes on a vacation to.
Gotcha. Nice, man. So, I mean, dude, I mean, honestly, Marshall, like me and Lon. So let me tell you guys. You know, there's many things to success, but it really comes down to, Marshall, is I think the thing is discipline. And let me share this story with you guys. So Marshall, honestly, the wifey and I, we literally can travel so typically I would say every other month, we would love to go somewhere and we can't. But here's the problem. The problem is that the wifey, and I think a lot of girls can relate, is that it's when we travel, it's hard for her to eat healthy. It's hard for her to, you know, work out. Cause it's not her nature to work out, to eat healthy. So when we go, it's really hard for her and it's easy for her to gain weight. And she realized that you can give her $1 billion. But if she's overweight, she would not be happy inside. So she sacrificed. She's like, she loves to travel. She loves Hawaii. Like we would, like literally if it wasn't, we would have been in Florida right now. And then in California, right? Yeah. But she know what her priority is. And she know what brings her true happiness. She said, Kong, when we travel and when we go out and when we eat, I'm only happy for that moment. But she said, Kong, when I go back home, I'm not happy. And that, so she's like, my true happiness is what I, even though it's like when we're back at home, Marshall, like Lon and I don't really go out to eat, right? She cooks at home, but we find other things that we can do together. We go for a nice walk and things like that. But what makes her truly happy is being in shape. And That's mean more to her than anything else.
Understood.
Yeah.
You're Vietnamese. Is your wife also Vietnamese?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you appeal to other immigrants that have come to this country because of your immigrant story?
You mean that my presence on social media?
Yeah. Do you think that, you know, obviously we tend to like people that we are like. Think that there's a lot of people that see your Cinderella story, frankly? Of, you know, living in a hut, you know, gigging frogs, coming here, crawling through fields. And now you've built up this real estate empire. Do you think that again, you know, my own belief, my father came to the country. Yeah. He was an immigrant from Poland, nice. Dirt poor when he came here. And, you know, we were poor, extremely poor growing up. And so, you know, my belief is that when we find mentors or we find trainers, we want to find somebody who started off worse than we are now, so that we don't have an excuse.
True.
Do you think that that's part of what your amazing appeal is?
You know, Marshall, so when we talk about is there a lot of, do I have a lot of Asian students or like Vietnamese and things like that? Dude, you'll be surprised. I get students from whatever, but I would say I don't have a lot of Asian followers. Like I don't have a lot of Vietnamese students. I don't have a lot of Vietnamese followers. I get a lot of Caucasian. I get a lot of Mexican. I get a lot of, you know, obviously other nationality as well. But I think what really stands out is that people can connect with the stories that, you know, just like you said, that I started from nothing, just like everybody else, right? I started from nothing. And even for a lot of you, I start even way lower than you. The majority of the people that follow me probably never live in a mud hut. They probably never catch frogs for dinner, right? And that's what I have to do. And then, you know, and I'm kind of like, you know, I tell people that Lon and I are like that millionaire next door. We're just a regular average couple. Like if you really meet us in person, we're definitely not the sharpest tool in the shed. Like my reading and writing sucks. I don't even know if you tell me Kong, hey, go two block and make a right. I don't even know what you mean by two block. So the only thing, Marshall, the only thing I'm good at is making money. But beside that, dude, we talk about geographic. Marshall, I used to not know what West Coast and East Coast is. I mean, like I know now, but I didn't know that. Before that, they like, hey, Kong, are you in the East Coast or are you in the West Coast? I'd be like, dude, I don't know what coast you're talking about, dude, but I'm on planet Earth, baby.
What's your favorite thing to do when you're not investing in real estate? Obviously, you love being with your wife and you love hanging with your wife and you like to travel. What else do you love to do?
Man, I love to watch comedy movie. If I have a choice, I know the wifey won't let me, but if I have a choice, dude, I just love spending time playing poker. Like I love playing poker. And I think I think life or business is like the game of poker.
I would agree. Yep. Have you played in the World Series of Poker?
No, typically I just play at home for fun, bro.
Very cool. I have a lot of friends in the poker world. Dan Fleischman is a good friend of mine, and he had a online gaming site from years ago. So,
oh dang,
we know the and I also train a lot of professional poker players that I can't name because part of what we teach is we teach people cold reading. We teach people how to read nonverbal communication tells.
Oh, really? Dang. Okay. Yeah. That's next level, dude.
So maybe we could be friends. I don't know.
Absolutely, man.
You know, I actually have another friend of mine in town and he's got a very large insurance agency. And he took us to dinner the other night. And I used to be a whale here in Las Vegas. I used to be a very large gambler. And when I met my wife and started having babies, I just quit playing. And my game of choice was blackjack. And the reason my game of choice was blackjack is, number one, I can play it with the dealer. I don't have to wait for other people because I'm fairly impatient. Yeah, and the other thing is blackjack is math. It really is just math. And if you don't let your emotions get into it, much like investing, if you don't get emotionally attached to one deal, if you say, no, I win, I lose, I just want to win more than I lose and then walk away, then you'll win. And so my friend had not really played much blackjack. He took us to dinner and he said he wanted to go play a little bit. And I said, what do you play? He said, I think I'm going to play blackjack. And I said, do you know anything about playing blackjack? He said, well, I've played a couple times. I said, you don't know anything. Let me sit down and teach you for a little bit. So we sat down and I taught him some strategies and he had put down $500. And when it got to, he had $1,000 in front of him. I said, now is when we run. Now is when we leave the table. We cash out our chips. So it's real money again. So we remember what this is. And then we run away. And so he did and he won and he was happy. So, you know, I think that sometimes that's the biggest challenge is, and then last night I wasn't with him and he went out and played without me. And I said, regardless of what you do, make sure if you get up and you're not consistently winning, leave the table when you're up. I don't care if you're up $2. I don't care what it is. So he messaged me this morning. He said, I went up $4 last night and I left. I said, that's a win, baby. So I think that, you know, it's the same thing with real estate investing, that sometimes people just need the experience of their first deal. That once they do the first deal and they, you know, they make their first $20,000 and it takes them a week or 2 weeks and they go, holy cow, That wasn't hard. That was easy. I just needed to do it. Then the dam breaks. And yep. So, you know, one of the things that I encourage people to do is figure out how can you get your first deal done? And then the other thing that I believe is that most people don't make ridiculous offers, offers they think are going to be not accepted. You know, that the seller's going to say, no way am I going to do that. What do you think about ridiculous offers?
Well, you know, I think when I got into real estate, my mentor used to tell me, he said, hey, if you're not embarrassed
about your offer. By the way, before you continue, who was your mentor?
His name is Mike Fitzgerald. He's very big in Hagerstown. So we're actually the same age. I just turned 40. So we're about the same age, but he does a lot of big things over there. And he used to tell me, he said, Kong, if your offer's not like if you're not embarrassed of your offer, then your offer is not low enough. And he said, Kong, all it takes is one yes. And real estate is the numbers game. So yeah. it takes you 100 no's to get to one yes. But he said, Colin, that one yes will make you 25, 30,000 or 100,000. Is it worth it? Is all the FU worth it? And I think, Marshall, I think the biggest thing that when people get into real estate wholesaling, especially, and most people don't succeed, not just commitment and not just work ethic, but that they don't know how to talk and negotiate with the seller. Period. So what I do is I do these cold call role play, and I would get people on and I would role play with them. And most of them, dude, like they sound amateur. They don't know what they're talking about. Right. And they sound like a scammer. And even a seller is motivated. You can scare them away.
Right.
Because you don't know how to talk, how to communicate, and how to negotiate. And I think that so the reason I say that is because that's my biggest weakness when I started in the game. And what took me so long, it took me 6 months to get my first deal because I don't know that. So now I can lose all the skill of, hey, finding the people worry about how do I find the seller? How do I find the cash buyer? Dude, work on when you get on the phone with the seller. Work on your communication. So that's why people that have sales background, Marshall, and when they transition into wholesaling, a lot of them, like, a higher percentage of them can succeed because they already have that sales background. So when they get on the phone, they're just smooth and they're good. They just need to like, hey, so Kong, how do I, so they basically just need the vocab in the real estate. So you say this, you say this, you say this, and then they need take the jargon. That information and then it's game over.
Yeah. Yep. You know, my house here in Vegas was on the market for $10 million. And okay. I came and I offered the seller $6 million for the house. And they said, F you. They told me to go F myself. And my response whenever anybody tells me that when I've made an offer is, please do not be insulted. I'm a real estate investor. I make offers where I can make a profit. And they, no offense intended. That's what I do for a living. Yeah. And a year went by and I found another $10 million property that I was negotiating on. Took a year and I couldn't make the other deal come together. Came back to the original property and I said, I see you haven't sold your property yet. I was wondering if you would reconsider my offer. And they said, we've been looking all over for your phone number. We want to sell it to you for $6 million. I said, great. Now I want all the furniture. And that may not seem like a lot, but in a house that's 17,000 square feet, the furniture was $750,000. And so, you know, again, it's that idea that you don't know where somebody else is. I found out ultimately they were about to be foreclosed on. They were just a month or two from foreclosure. And so, you know, that happens. And I think if people would just start making bad offers, and like you said, offers that are embarrassing to make, I think that if they would just start doing that, every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds a nut. And that really is, you know, what it's all about. What's the biggest thing about wholesaling that makes it superior to other types of real estate investing? Obviously, you can do it from where you already mentioned, you can do it from wherever you are. You don't have to actually see the property. What else are the benefits to wholesaling?
Yeah. So Marshall, honestly, with wholesaling, if you set up the contract correctly, there's really no risk. And here's what I mean. So let's just say that you got a property, okay? Let's just say that you got a property and a contract, okay? So if you were to buy, fix, and flip, you could probably spend, you know, you have to come up with maybe $200,000 or $300,000, but with wholesaling, you can put this property in a contract with $10 let's just say, even if you put this property in a contract with $1,000 and you got 30 days to find your buyers, within that 30 day period, if you can find a buyer, you can call the seller up, you can cancel the contract, walk away, get your earnest money deposit back, okay? Because you're still within that 30 days inspection, you get that earnest money back and you just move on to the next deal. You see, it's all in the contract. If you set it up correctly, there's really no risk. But if you're into the buy and flip, you know, the buy, fix and flip, you're done. You buy the property, that's pretty much it. And a lot of time, that's why people said you gotta come up with exit strategy. So if you buy it, you go in, you rehab it and figure out, dude, I thought it's only gonna cost me $50,000. Now it ended up costing me $100,000. Now I am obviously over. Like if I were to sell it, I would lose money. Well, guess what you're gonna have to do? Now you have to think about, hey, if I can rent it out, could I get enough rent come in where it covered my mortgage? Could I do Airbnb? Could I do midterm rental? So that's where you gotta get creative if you're actually buying the property. Whether you wanna fix and flip, you better have some exit strategy. You better have reserve. See, that's the problem. So for me, I can tie 10 property in a contract and it cost me like, let's just say $3,000. I can tie 10 houses under contract for, let's just say, $3,000. And if I wake up, the market dropped by 20%, a lot of you will call them, that's not going to happen. Well, dude, back in 2008, 2009.
It happens all the time. Yeah. Of course.
So let's just say if you wake up and the market shift and things go crazy. I got 10 property locked up on a contract. I can call all of those sellers up, renegotiate for a new price, or I can cancel the contract. Walk away, no problem. Worst come to worst, I lose the $3,000. Yeah. Right? Worst come to worst. But if you fix and flip, do 10 houses in my area, you'll be locked up $5 to $10 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of capital. That's a lot of risk.
That's a lot.
You better have a lot of reserve. And you know, Marshall, people don't understand. Some people don't understand the game of real estate. Some people, you know, some people are like, well, Kong, I don't know why you have so much money stacked in the bank. Dude, the reason why is because when you own a lot of real estate, you need to have reserve, my friend. That's what happened back in 2008, 2009, where people, one, over-leveraged, thinking that real estate was going to continue going up, all right? And they don't have enough reserve, so they're out there borrowing private money, hard money, left and right, and they were trying to do too many things, right? Basically, they're trying to wear bigger hats than they can pop. They're trying to chew on something that they know that they can't. So when you have a lot of reserve, my friend, you're able to sleep with a peace of mind, knowing that if anything happens, you get that money to pay for that mortgage due for the next, you know, 3 years, 5 years, however long it takes. And this is, Marshall, this is what happened with people who, you know, who wants to buy their first house. They're like, oh man, again, I got a VA loan. I put zero down, blah, blah, blah. Dude, but you have, like, to me, if you want to buy a house and you want to be safe, you need to have at least a 6 to 12 month reserve. Most people think that, oh, my job is secure, dude, until you lose it. Your J-O to B is not secure, my friend. It's not secure. And that's what happened in 08, 09, when people wakes up and the Lehman collapse and people are losing their job left and right and they have no reserve. Guess what? Can't pay for the mortgage. They lose the car, lose the house, lost everything. Always have reserve, my friend. Always.
Yep. Yep. Hey, if you are listening right now to the show and you're loving what Kong is saying, by all means, in the chat, give up some love for Kong. Tell us where you are watching from and tell him how much you appreciate him being on the show. I've got two last questions before we wrap up. You kind of already answered one of them. First question is, what's the average profit on a wholesale deal? What's the average? Obviously, it varies, but what should somebody be seeking as they're looking to do wholesale deals?
So in my area, it's about 20 to 25K. All right. So 20-25,000. But I think the average is, you know, probably between 10 to 15. Like you can see the 10 to 15 all day long. Right. But there's in some area, 20 to 25 is probably the minimum.
Good. And how many you've been training students for how long?
Gosh, I think I've been doing it for 6 years. I've been in the real estate game for 12 years. been training students and putting out my content 6 years.
And how many students have you trained?
But it got to 1,000.
Say that again.
I said that I don't count, but I think it got to be close to 1,000.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Hey, how do people get a hold of you? First and foremost, thank you so much for taking the time. I know your morning was extremely busy. But thanks for taking the time. How do people get a hold of you and find out more about what you do?
Marshall, thank you so much, man. Once again, it's an honor to be here, dude. Just Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere. Just at Real King Kong.
Awesome, man. Hey, you have a fantastic day. Thanks for being on the show. And I look forward to meeting you in person sometime soon. God bless.
Likewise. Marshall, thank you so much. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
You bet. You too. God bless. Bye now. Bye. Well, that is awesome. What a great show. Like I said, I'm flying, baby. Hey, let us know. Yesterday, I didn't get to the secret word. I did give some clues, but I never got to it. The secret word yesterday, I gave you clues about ponying up, and I'm not going to horse around. I'm going to give the cash away. I've mentioned lots of cues, and the word was equine, which means when we come back tomorrow, it won't be $3,000. It'll be $3,500 up for grabs. And yesterday, we also had some callers call in, and we looked at the tab, and we have a winner of silver from yesterday, Wendy Thompson. You are our 10-ounce Marshall Silver winner. If you'd like to win 10 ounces of pure silver, and who wouldn't? If you'd like to put yourself in the running to win thousands of dollars in free cash, it's real simple. All you got to do is tune in live Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. until we wrap. And you too could increase the quality of your life, learn some powerful, powerful things, meet a phenomenal community, and so much more. So let us know in the chat where you're watching from. Let us know what you thought about the show, and especially give up some love for King Kong. You are totally loved. You have an awesome day. I'm Marshall Silver, your personal certified millionaire maker, and I'll see you on our next show.